Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to take you for a little mental walk, if you would. We're going to go through a grocery store. We're going to stay out of the meat section, and we're going to stay out of the other side of the store, the produce section. And kind of walk down the middle where they've got just tons and tons of boxes and cartons of all sorts of different kinds of products and things. And you're walking down the store there, and imagine as you're looking at the packaging, you notice this little three-letter word that keeps appearing in bright red letters. Everybody knows what the word is. New. New. And I wonder, how effective is that when you're standing there making your choice, your purchase decision, and you see those two boxes, one that's very ordinary and plain, and you've seen it there a million times, and right next to it is the same similar product with that bright red three-letter word over the top of it, brand new. Which one does your hand automatically go toward? It's the one usually marked new. Of course, you're thinking, well, I certainly don't want to go for a stale product, but when it says it's new, you know, you just figure something's different about it. There's something about us as human beings that just cries out for something new. We've got this innate something that's going on inside of us that's always wanting novelty and something new. But you know, sometimes it gets us into trouble. You know, I've been in situations before where, you know, finances were tight and, you know, maybe you don't need a car, but you just kind of go car shopping and you see these new cars and shoot, it's like buying a house today. I mean, buying some of these cars, it's amazing. And, you know, but we all know folks that have overextended themselves to buy one of those expensive brand new cars. Even if their old one is still running, fine. Or how many people have jumped a little too soon? You know, you go to a new job, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing in the world, and only to spend a few weeks there going, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I'm in trouble. And why do we do it? Because it's new. And we're bored with the old. More tragically, how many people do you know who have betrayed a spouse of many years, wounding a good and faithful person because they wanted a little novelty in their love life? Hungering for the new is a mixed blessing, to be sure. So, being a Lutheran, of course, I am always asking myself the question, what does this mean? When you read passages as we would read from the second letter lesson today, where it says, see, I am making all things new. Well, let's first, to understand this, look at the things that it's not. When it says, I am making all things new, he's not saying, for sure, I am making all new things. It doesn't say that. That's the promise of the advertisers, the marketers. They want us to believe that everything old belongs on the scrap heap. Let's just throw it out and buy the new thing. Did any of you notice that it was Earth Week this past week? Yeah. A few of you shaking your heads, yes. The best I can figure out what Earth Day is that we're supposed to plant a tree or something like that, maybe. Or possibly ride your bike to work, which wouldn't be any problem for me. It's only a couple miles. Some of you, you know, you work in Chesterfield, might be an issue. Well, I didn't plant a tree and I didn't ride my bike to work, so, you know, I guess I need to get with it. And I'm not trying to make a pitch for Earth Day, but I do see a spiritual connection here that I think we should look at. And I think our parents and our grandparents understood it better than most of us who were born after World War II. We are so enamored with the idea of new things that we've developed a throwaway culture. I'm not talking about hoarding things, but I'm talking about just getting rid of things. And unfortunately, the idea flows into the realm of people. And that's where it really hits the road for me. When they become old or useless to us, what do you do with them? You set them aside. Thankfully, God celebrates Earth Day in a special way. He redeems those who are broken, those who are faded, those who are worn out. But what if God really did say, "See, I am making all new things"? Well, such planned obsolescence would refer to us as well, for we're surely God's creation too. It would mean that God has decided to scrap everything and start all over. You know the story of Noah. God did this once before. The whole world was destroyed except for Noah and his family. And God eventually made a promise not to ever do that again. The second thing that God doesn't say is, "I have made all things new." I have made. Tenses are really important. That's the promises of the traditionalists. Folks who are always looking backwards, always saying that life was better in the old days. Notice what the verb says, though. It's a progressive tense. I am making. I'm in the process of making. Nothing is complete as of yet. The divine work of renewal is an ongoing process. It's not completed. And surprisingly, it was already going on at the time of the prophets, even in their day. And those prophets were told of a coming Savior, the Messiah. God was already working, even in their day and time, through the promise of a Messiah, the Christ. So we're not claiming that creation was all wrapped up and tied up with a bow the moment that Jesus died and then was raised from the dead. Jesus began this certain work during his earthly life, a work of reconciliation. But that's just a part that says God has already been in this work, in this business. And now we're seeing the fulfillment of it in Jesus. And we're going to continue that work on through the gift of the Holy Spirit, working reconciliation in the hearts of people, a progressive, ongoing thing. And so that means that the voice of the traditionalists can never be the final word for the church, and certainly not the only word. The church should always be on the lookout for something new, always open to the fresh leading of the Spirit. The Spirit didn't stop working on the day of Pentecost. God promised through the Spirit He would be with us always to the very end of the age. And He is still working here and now through His Word and through the Spirit. We've all watched, I shouldn't say y'all. Sometimes people are so turned off by politics as soon as it comes on TV, they switch the channel. I'm not that kind of person. I watch it, then I turn to MSNBC, and then I turn to Fox, and then I turn to CNN. You know, I got to be fair and balanced, of course, I'm being a pastor. But you know, there's always something new. There's always a fresh-faced guy they want to put out in front of us as the chosen one who's going to save the world. Well, friends, there's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. He's the one who's filled the position. And He's made some promises in this time, in His time. But it was about so much more than just promises made in the past for a future. During His earthly ministry, Jesus began to do things that showed us, I mean, these aren't new things. These are things God was already doing, but now He was doing them in remarkable ways through His Son, Jesus. You remember the incident where John the Baptist was in prison, and he sends his disciples out to sort of quiz Jesus and say, hey, you know, what's up with you? Are you the guy or not? You know, and Jesus says, go and tell John this, what you see and you hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. God was working already in the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus, and He's working even today. And the work that He so cherishes more than anything is to be reconciled to mankind. It is to renew those of us who are broken and are in need of God's healing touch. And renewal belongs neither to a storied past or an impossible distant future. The new thing can only happen in the present, in the here and now. That, by the way, is the secret to experiencing God's renewal. It's not getting bogged down in the past or in distant promised future. You know, I don't think anybody really understands that better than the AA people, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, any of the 12-step folks. Their motto is this: one day at a time. Just take it one day at a time. They learned so long ago that the only way for an addict to get sober is by relentlessly focusing on the present and by accepting the help of the higher power offered in the here and now. Jesus said, see, I am making all things new. All things. Yes, back then, time of Jesus, time of Pentecost, but God is also now working in the present. Here's where He wants to work in us. And the thing we need to realize is that this newness that God offers us is not just for us, but it's in us. It's working in us. We are His creation. He loves us. He is committed to our renewal, our progress in the faith. And if we're open to it, the work of our Redeemer is restoring us and others is happening right now. But we need to be tuned in to Him. And so just a very small question to end the message this morning is, won't you join our Redeemer in His work, His holy work, right now in the present? The past is gone. The future is coming and the promises are sure. But the most beautiful promise that we have is that He is here with us now. Let's join Him in the work. In Jesus' name, amen.